All year long my life seems ordinary. On this day tell me, why does it seem strange? Things never seem sublime till I hear those church bells chime when it's Christmas on the range.
Howdy everybody, Campbell Smith welcoming each and every one of you into episode 152 of Justified Pursuit. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It is great to be here with you, and it is great to see the good counselor, Chisholm Cook, here as well. How was your Thanksgiving, buddy?
It was good.
Lots of green bean casserole?
There was a pan that didn't get touched, at least the day of. I think somebody scooped some of that goo out the next day.
Dude, I had the best. I was thinking about that. I had really good green bean casserole, and I thought about it as I was putting it on my plate. I was like, shouldn't do this. This looks gross. But it was pretty good. It had a lot of crunchy stuff on top.
Yeah.
Nice.
This looked decent as far as those things go. Did have a nice layer of what looked like crunchy stuff on top, but there was so many other. I mean, it was easily the last option out of many and unnecessary. So I passed. Mm-hmm. I think I touched on this maybe a couple times in our Thanksgiving day's specials, but my wife, sister, and I do the cooking now, and we cook all the same stuff as in the year, you know, when I was a kid, but we've leveled it all. It's all 10x better. And you know, I had my first plate and I'm scarfing it down. I think I'd fasted all day too, and I was just like, oh, everything's so good, it's so good. Well, I realized over the weekend that I think we have we've actually created a problem, because when everything was half-ass, then I didn't want to eat seven plates of it. Mm-hmm. But now that everything is incredible, it's a problem, because I spent like two full days slipping in and out of a coma. Getting back to normal though.
Mixed in a little Cowboys slaughtering of the Redskins.
That was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watched the whole game for the first time.
I refuse to call them the Commanders. Washington football team. Yeah, okay. I could do that. I could go with that, but I'm not calling them the Commanders. That's the Redskins.
Yeah. So Cowboys and Indians, man. I mean, we all played it as a kid. It's yeah.
And they played on Thanksgiving. At least the Cowboys did.
I know I pointed out that cranberry sauce from a can sucks. You took great issue with my statement. It does suck. I mean, you know, it's edible. It's got some tartness to it.
Like, it needs to be on your plate, and sometimes a little bit of it just gets mixed in with a bite with anything else. Makes it a little better.
So what I forgot to mention last time is that that's my sister's new jam, and she buys fresh cranberries. Mm-hmm. And I think I texted you about this. She takes Grand Marnier and then cooks them down and makes like a compote reduction thing with like spices, nutmeg and cinnamon and that type of stuff, Grand Marnier and fresh cranberries. And I'm telling you, if you eat that, you'll just, like, the Jell-O mold crap out of the can becomes just what it is. Jell-O mold crap out of a can. You'll never touch it again.
Jell-O mold fresh. Is Aunt Bethany's special. And we had did you have any of the pink or green? No, y'all probably didn't.
No, I didn't have that.
I think you have to be in your 60s or older to be making that still. Because no one our age is saying, yeah, let's have the pink or green Aunt Bethany's Jell-O mold disaster.
Isn't it funny how
pineapples and sometimes there's nuts in it, and has to have whipped cream or mayonnaise. I don't know, but it's like fluffy, but it was there at the third Thanksgiving I went to, and only my brother's wife, I think, was the only one I saw eating it. And I think she said it was nostalgia. Like, her mom used to make it and she likes it. And I think that's why my mom makes it, is for her.
The funny thing is, this occurred to me over the week as well. Like, why doesn't that family member ever take the hint? I think it's got to be one of two possibilities. Either there's leftovers of everything, so they don't notice that their thing had one scoop out of it, but everything else is like down to a third of its original volume. Uh-huh. So maybe they're like, well, somebody ate it. And of course, it's leftovers. There's always leftovers from Thanksgiving. So they just keep making it. Or they're trolling us. And I think that for some people, it's the latter. I think there are some nefarious, there's at least one nefarious actor in every family that's like, I'm going to keep bringing this crap that nobody wants. just to make them feel
my
bad.
My mom
about
doesn't
asking
have that,
advice
that
seven times
ability to like prank people.
That's why there's two options.
Yeah.
Saying there's two options.
But we did have a lot of good leftovers at deer camp. The leftovers were a lot better than the hunting. The hunting sucked, dude. I don't know what it was like in South Texas, but we had three sits over two different blinds and saw one doe. That was it. It was terrible. The full moon absolutely killed rut movement. And I talked to a lot of people in North Texas, Oklahoma, kind of the same deal. Just shut it down. Had a lot of nighttime photos, but nothing moving. So I taught the boys how to build a proper duck blind, and we did a little duck hunting instead on the last morning. Henry's friend Judd went with us, and his dad. These are lifelong friends of mine from church growing up. Some of my best friends. Anyway, his dad got remarried. His wife, first wife, passed away from brain cancer 2 years ago. And so they got remarried in Broken Bow. It was a three-night deal, and they rented this big house and had, I guess, just the close friends there. And then everyone else rented houses, and it was just a three-day deal celebrating them and both the kids. So they're Henry and the girls' ages. So their son's 10 and their daughter is 8. They were excited to get, quote, a new mom. You know, like the little girl was like, I can't wait till tomorrow, Ashley, so I can call you mama. So that was cool. Sweet. Yeah. Not replace, you know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, though, because like Aaron, it was raining and they got married in the woods at this beautiful waterfall they'd picked out. And it had rained, so everyone was wearing mud boots because you had to walk like a quarter of a mile to get there. And Aaron had on a pair of his first wife's rain boots because she got a lot of her shoes and stuff when she passed away because they were very close. So it was like having a little bit of Julie there at the wedding, which, you know, Luke was like, that's perfectly appropriate. I love it. So it's interesting deal, but certainly a happy time for all of us and their family. So Broken Bow is still awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Mm-hmm. People sleep on Eastern Oklahoma / the Ozark part of Arkansas, Missouri, but it's a gorgeous part of the world for sure.
Yeah. So they went on their honeymoon. So we took their daughter for 3 nights and their son for 3 nights. And Henry, Judd and I were like, see ya girls. Because my twins were having their birthday party and there's gonna be 8 girls at this house spending the night. And I was like, we're going to the deer lease. So y'all have fun with that.
Yeah.
So they had the girls weekend, and I don't know that Aaron enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed our weekend.
Yeah. Sounds like everybody was cooped up in a box. You guys had room to roam.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I came home and promptly killed Santa Claus. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a little backstory there. Aaron and I had decided together, she brought it up.
I was going to say, I thought it was her idea.
It was her idea because she accidentally killed the tooth fairy.
Wait, spoiler warning. If you're listening with young kids in the car, which frankly you shouldn't be.
Right.
Muffle, earmuffs.
Yeah. So Aaron killed the tooth fairy.
Throw that in before the words of
6 months ago when Henry lost the tooth and the tooth fairy didn't come. And I was out of town hunting. And so I had to tell Henry because he asked, he's like, what happened? And I was like, well, son, there's this thing that parents do to their kids. We don't really know why we do it, but our parents did it to us, so we do it to you. And there's no tooth fairy. And he cried, and that was the end of it. And then, so Aaron's like, I think Henry's probably having doubts about Santa. He already knows the tooth fairy's not real. So, okay. So we'll tell him together. So yesterday, the girls stayed at school for an after-school event, whatever, and so it was Henry and Aaron and I in the living room sitting on the couch. It happens very rarely, just the three of us. It's quiet, the Christmas tree's up, it's like, this is nice, you know. There's no better time than now because that stupid elf comes December 1st. So we got like a day here, 2 days, whatever it was. And I was like, Henry, come sit over here in between us and let's have a little talk. And I started with, son, remember when I told you the tooth fairy wasn't real? not the reaction I was expecting. He got up out of the room, said nope, and he ran away outside to kick his soccer ball. Now Aaron's crying. And he, I could tell he, like, as he was running, was like misty eyed. So she goes and gets him and brings him back into the living room. And I had gone in my office for a second. I was like, okay, I guess that we'll deal with this later. I don't know. Then I walk back in there and he's bawling and she's like bear hugging him because he wants to get up and leave. And he's crying. And I'm like, oh God, well, turns out she didn't say anything. He just knew what was coming and didn't want any part of it. So now he runs out the back door with the soccer ball. He wants to do anything but hear what's coming. And I look at her and I'm like, what? And she's like glaring at me. And I'm like, what is the problem? Like, you said we needed to do this. And so I took the initiative to do it. And she goes, that's not how I wanted to do it. I wanted to write him a letter and all this stuff. I said, well, you should have said that to me because I didn't know anything about a letter. I just knew that we were supposed to have this conversation.
You gave me a task. I completed the task.
Oh,
check.
Yeah. Oh,
box check.
Speaking of, side note, I have told her so many times I'm a task-oriented contributor of the family. Like, we had Thanksgiving at our house Wednesday night for her dad's side. And I'm not sitting on my ass watching football or doing anything. I'm like, I'm here to help. But like, if you don't tell me what to do, it's not going to get done. So whatever you need, I'm your guy. But like, I don't have the list of stuff.
Better offer some detailed instructions.
Yes, just tell me what to do.
Done in Cable's way.
I'll do it. So anyway, she had told me this needed to be done, and I'm like, all right, I'm your Huckleberry. I'll be the Grim Reaper for Santa. And, didn't go as planned. So yeah, and then now I'm the bad guy, and she's pissed at me. I don't know. So. That's kind of where we left it. And then last night I took Henry to his first basketball practice. He has a broken arm still, so he wasn't playing. He just was the first practice. He wanted to go say hi to all his teammates, blah, blah, blah. We hung out for 15 minutes. Then on the way home, he goes, Dad, why did you tell me that? And I was like, oh, so we are going to have the conversation now. So we did. And I said, now you're part of you're on the big kid parent team. You get to play along with your sister. She goes, yeah, but I wish you just didn't tell me. And I said, but didn't you already have doubts from like the tooth fairy? And he goes, yeah, a little. And I said, and are your friends at school talking about that? You know, that Santa might not be real. And he goes, yeah, sometimes. I said, well, then don't you think it was maybe appropriate that you know? He goes, yeah, but I said, you're just sad because you liked it, right? You know, but then I said, but that's not what Christmas is about, dude. Like, Santa is so insignificant. It's about the birth of Jesus, right? He goes, yeah. I said, okay, well, then the magic of Christmas has nothing to do with Santa Claus. That's just something for little kids. And you're turning 11 in December, so are you still a little kid? No, not quite a young man, but not a little boy anymore. I think that's why Aaron was so sad, really, why she's bawling. It's like this is her firstborn's, all of his innocence just right out the window in such short fashion, I guess. So
yeah
he's now getting, he's on Team Elf, help play games with the elf and everything else, much to his dismay, but I think he'll like it once he gets involved with it. I said, you can still ask for whatever you want, you've been a good kid, so you're still gonna get the same presents and it'll still say from Santa on it. But right. He goes, but how did that trampoline appear in the backyard? I said, well, sometimes mom and dad stay up till 2 a.m. putting gifts together for you guys so we could say it's from Santa Claus. I don't know. The whole thing seems really stupid as I say it, as it's coming out of my mouth.
We stay up till 2 a.m. to create an elaborate ruse so that one day we can break your heart.
Right. It sounded so dumb coming out of my mouth. He's like, well, when did you find out? I was like, probably 5th grade, son, same as you. You know, like, but I had doubts for a couple years, I'm sure, right? We all did.
Yeah, I will say I might question y'all's timing, and this is for both of you. I mean, Aaron apparently wanted to do this before Christmas. This seems like a good conversation somewhere within a month of the 4th of July.
Yeah.
As opposed to less than a month from Christmas Day.
You know, that was the thing I took
away. He just
from
flipped
this
the script.
Was that you only get one chance at being a parent the first time.
Yeah.
Like, this is my first kid. I was like, well, it's Christmas season. Let's do it now. horrible.
Right. In retrospect, yeah. Hindsight's 2020. Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey,
and I'm the fall guy.
Everybody knows that as soon as the Thanksgiving feast is over Friday, the you know, decorations start going up. As you point out, the tree's already up. He's got his list in his head. It's like full bore from here until, you know, the 24th. It's, yeah, dude, it's Christmas time. And it's like, hey, how you like the Christmas tree? By the way, Santa's not real.
Right.
Everything comes to a screeching halt.
That was so weird to see him react like, nope, not here yet. Earmuffs, don't want to have this conversation.
That was my favorite part of the story. Admittedly, maybe a little bit sadistic, but the idea that he just like got up and ran out and wouldn't let you finish. He like knew instantly as soon as you brought up the tooth fairy, like, I don't want to hear it. 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 Which goes to show the doubt. Like he knew. Mm-hmm. He already knew. He just wasn't ready to admit it.
Isn't that a funny thing about human nature?
Yeah.
Whether you're a kid or an adult, when you know something is too good to be true, or you have doubts about something's existence, and you don't want to accept the truth, but you know.
It's that cognitive dissonance. Mm. Double think.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hank.
Yeah. I don't know. When did you tell Riley, your oldest?
I don't even remember. I wasn't there for these. I don't think I was there for any of those conversations, to be honest.
Huh.
Lucky
you.
Yeah, it's been a blessing. I think they figured it out. So with our four child split, we've got Riley and Charlotte are like 20 months apart. And there's like a 3-year gap down to Sarah and Emily, who are about the same, like 19, 20 months apart. Right. So we've kind of got like two joined at the hip pairs. Mm-hmm. So it's not a 1-by-1 thing in our household. It's like, all right, girls, y'all are, you know, preteens. I want to say that they brought it up, but I'd have to double check with Ash. We'll regroup on this. We've got weeks before Christmas. I know Ashley came to me and said a couple years ago, I'm ready to tell the girls there's no Santa Claus. I'm sick of this crap. And I'm not like, that's kind of how she said it. So she might have just ripped the Band-Aid off, but it was one of those deals where I think we had the same thing. Easter Bunny had died, you know. Mm. Elmer Fudd had taken him out a few years earlier, I guess, and the Tooth Fairy. Several teeth were missed, and you know, then a 5 showed up 3 days later, and so it wasn't a big shocker. And in fact, as you've been telling this story, I have to go ask her, where are we at with Emily? I don't even know for sure if Emily thinks Santa's coming. It hasn't been a thing this year. I know we got like 2 more years with Sarah and Emily, and then this past year it was kind of like maybe we just end this whole charade, and I have no idea. I have no idea if my 7-year-old believes in Santa as we speak or not.
I can't wait for that stupid elf to go straight.
See, that's the funny thing is that you guys bought into the new marketing scheme and added a whole.
Whoa, you guys did. No, that's not. What it is. This is what the these people.
That's what I mean. Y'all, a lot of Americans bought into the idea. They have to spend another $30 on this stupid elf that gives you a month worth of. It's a whole new deception. You just pointed out. I don't know, man. My parents taught me about Santa and their parents taught them about Santa. So we just did it. We just thought it was the right thing to do. But y'all decided you had to make a new weird, creepy. Now you got this being in your house that moves around every night. It's like y'all added.
The ones that I set up where he was snorting cocaine, she did away with anyway. Like I found some humor in that, but it was a pixie stick. But yeah, it was there he was doing a line of blow. Like, oh, we're gonna have to. She was like, "Will you move the elf tonight?" I was like, "Sure, I'll actually get into the Christmas spirit and like make a cool scene."
It's like watching a Pixar film where all the jokes are actually
sitting on one of the girls' Barbie's lap doing a line of blow, and apparently that was inappropriate. Merry Christmas, F you, elf. Speaking of elf, though, we ate dinner last night with Elf on in the background. Great movie. I do like I love Christmas movies. I love Christmas music. I mean, and that's what I try to explain to Henry. Like, that's the real magic of Christmas anyway. Not Santa Claus.
Yeah, I like Christmas movies, especially the ones that still acknowledge that Jesus has got some part to play in the whole story. More and more these days, they don't touch on it at all. I think I talked about this last Christmas, but we watched Christmas Vacation. And I, you know, we'd already watched all the Home Alones. No mention of Jesus, as I recall, in any, maybe at the beginning of Home Alone also. But the beginning of...
Well, they're in church, in Home Alone.
Yeah, they do go to church. Right, that's true. Yeah. But right, there's at least a token, right. I knew Home Alone had something. It's not central, but yeah, they go to church. But yeah, the original Christmas Vacation, they're driving along singing carols, and they're singing like actual Christian carols. And there's a few more references, at least in the first 30 minutes of the film.
And then it's quickly interrupted by him flicking off the 18-wheeler driver. Hey, kids, look, a deer. Which I have that ornament. It's them in the station wagon and him looking out the window and him flicking off the 18-wheeler or the rednecks or whatever. Yep. And my kids don't even know what it is, but it's on the, we have two trees. Also, is that a good thing to have two Christmas trees? We have the one with all of the Hallmarky crap on it downstairs. That's like for company to see. And then we have the one with all of the ornaments that the kids have made upstairs, which that's my favorite one. That's where the Christmas Vacation ornament proudly is displayed.
On the kid's tree. Perfect. We do the two tree thing as well. We haven't set our second one upstairs. Last year we put it up at the barn for the market. It's still currently in a box, but the big one downstairs has been set up and was trimmed last night by the kids.
So you'll have a real tree?
No. They're both fake trees.
Okay.
We set the main Christmas tree in the living room up this on Sunday.
I wonder how many people listening still have a real tree. Did you have a real tree as a kid?
Yeah, we did. I think pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
And when we first got married, you know, Riley's birthday is 5th. What's the 5th? Tuesday? I think it's the 5th. So she was 20 days old at her first Christmas. And I was adamant about a real tree, put it up at our little house in Round Rock, and my mother-in-law came and stayed and, you know, to be there for a bit and help us with the baby in the house and all that stuff. And the tree got moldy and she got sick. And I was being a stubborn ass saying, I don't know when we realized it was the tree. I think she was complaining about it. And I was like, tough. And there was some tension that first child, grandma wanting to do some things the way she thought they needed to be done. So even Ash, three weeks postpartum, was sort of like, yep, we'll see you later. And then like 3 days later, we both got sick from the damn tree and the tree got tossed, and we've been doing the fake tree ever since. I thought about it yesterday. I was like, man, I love the smell, the pine sap. I don't remember which one I bought that year, but apparently there's certain ones.
A Douglas fir.
Right. That's the one with like that's the one that kind of looks like layered, right? That's got like the sort of foxtail. Yeah,
and the needles aren't as sharp as like a pine.
Right. So I think that a pine, the more full one, is the one that gets moldy. I think that's what I bought. Huh. Or a Douglas fir, which has more room for ornaments too. I think they're less susceptible to it. So maybe one day we'll go back to a real tree.
Did it like for the first couple years of our marriage. And then I think probably once we had kids, we were like, screw this.
But, you know,
it wasn't even, got any say in it. I don't get any say in these things. It was just like, I bought a fake tree. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. And the older I get, the less I care about things like that. So,
right.
Like when we first got married, I like pretended like I cared about what color the drapes were. Like, I don't care what color the drapes are. I realized like a year later, I was like, she can decorate this house however she wants. I don't care. Do whatever makes you happy, lady. This is your house.
Well,
if you're happy, I'm happy, right? That's the real thing. That's the realization, is if you're happy, I'm happy.
The great economist Thomas Sowell, always his famous, one of his many famous quotes is, there's no such thing as solutions, only trade-offs, right? So the live tree, or the natural tree, fake tree thing, like natural tree, you throw it up, you stick it in the little water pan thing, but then you got to like put the lights on it. You got to do the whole nine, right?
Mm.
But the setup is nice and easy, where our fake tree, you got to like unfold everything and, you know, all the branches like collapse down. You got to like splay them all out. It took me, I bet I worked on the tree for an hour, puffing it out and getting it all set up right.
Okay.
And it's like covered in this dusty crap that kind of gets all over your hands. And, you know, they get kind of, even though we've got it in a bag upstairs, somehow it's always nasty.
So,
but the lights are already on it.
Right. The lights are already on it. But our tree comes out of the attic on Black Friday. And conveniently, Henry and I are on our way or already at the dealy. So I have never a part of that, of the fake tree actually going up. It's just when we get back, it's there. And then we help decorate.
So. I got a 12 footer. This house that we have now has got like 20 foot.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me cue up the Vivaldi.
We used to have like an 8 or 10 footer. And the first time I threw it up in the living room here with our giant ceilings, I was like, oh, this doesn't work.
So much of all our giant ceilings.
It's just a tall room, dude.
First world problem.
Doesn't cost any more money to make tall ceilings. Mm-hmm. We built the house. We asked for tall ceilings. Mm-hmm. What were you talking about before I doubled back to the trees? I was talking about trade-offs. Damn.
Thomas Sowell is a smart man. There are only trade-offs, but... If that doesn't trigger your memory, I don't know.
Right. You were talking about something else that involved the trade-offs.
Well, let's play. Well, we were talking about drapes. Like, what? Like, who cares?
Oh, I know. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you realized I don't give a shit about decorating the house other than having dead animals everywhere. So you let her maintain all decorations in exchange for the one thing you want, right? Like, when we got married, I was like, I don't care about any of this stuff. You and your mom, get after it. All I want is a German chocolate groom's cake. And the wedding planner or the baker was like, no, German chocolate cakes are ugly. And Ashley's like, she says they're ugly. And I was like, I don't give a damn. That was back before I discovered Tres Leches, which would have been probably even more objectionable in terms of ugliness. But I was like, I want a German chocolate cake. Don't give a shit what she says. I'm not pretty. I don't need a pretty cake. You get the pretty cake. I get the one that I like.
Right.
Well, then she ended up making this amazing looking double layer German chocolate cake with like frosted, like lattice crossed, like the chocolate frosting, like crossed in like this lattice net over the whole thing. And it looked frankly prettier than the bride's cake. But anyway,
I definitely ate some of that cake. I don't remember it though.
I got like 3 bites right before we got, did you guys do like the rice? You know, they used to throw rice at you on your way out, right? Did you guys get pelted with rice, or were y'all already doing the bubble thing by the time it was the bubble thing and the craze?
You know, that's the funny thing about weddings is you pay all this money and then you don't remember it because it's a blur. I don't know. I think it might
have been. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
I just remember being like drug from like one space to the next for photos, for, you know, like we were doing family photos while everybody was getting dinner. We had everything in the same building. We didn't go to a chapel. We had the event space was where we actually had the ceremony in Corpus, and everybody's like done eating by the time we finally get to sit down with a plate of cold food. And then like we ate like 4 bites and it was time for the first dance and this and that. But when we were leaving and heading to the elevator of this building in downtown Corpus, we were getting, some of those drunks were, I mean, rifling fastballs, handfuls of rice at us. It was not pleasant. Like there's a picture of her and I in the elevator together about to go down. And like, we're standing in the elevator and you can just tell we're fucking annoyed. Excuse me. Freaking annoyed by everything, including the rice pelting. Nowadays they do bubbles. They blow bubbles or they do sparklers. I think sparklers. Because it became clear that, you know, rice BBs to the eyeballs was not a good way to end the night.
I want to point out that between the two of us, you swear a lot more than me on the show. Just, I want to make that note.
Bleep it.
Clean it up, sir.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Okay.
We both do a lot better than we did the first 30 episodes or so.
Yes, that is correct. Let's play a game, Chisholm, of who said it.
Not a religious person or anything, and if there was a God, like, this is proof that there isn't. This is fucked up. I mean, I don't deserve this. I'll tell you that much. I'm a better person than this.
Do you know who that was?
Yeah, that purple-haired lady from the soccer team that you hate so much. What's her name? Megan Rapinoe.
Yes. Yeah. Can you imagine being so vain, so obsessed with oneself? It's like she is her own God.
Yeah, there's, I mean, no, that was
God.
A mic. That was
proof that there's no God.
She perfectly summarized the entire leftist ideology and worldview going back to 1850. I thought, though, that she retired. That's what I don't understand. I think you brought this to my attention, then I heard it elsewhere. Maybe Megyn Kelly was talking about it, because she hates her a lot, too. She retired, but now she's claiming an injury ended her career. I don't understand. Was she
Place? That was her last game, and she suffered a
World Cup game?
No. Just, dude, this is...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I thought she retired it.
This is the women's... Like MLS, like it's the same as the WNBA.
There's okay, seven, so she was still playing.
People that watch it, right?
Right. She was still playing, quote unquote, pro soccer after, but she was televised. She had retired from the national team,
right? And this was her last club game, and she has in the first 2 minutes has a non-contact. I think she tore her Achilles. Too bad. But this is proof there's no God, because I don't deserve this. I'm a good person.
Yeah, a great person. Mm-hmm.
May God smite you.
Sitting up there
down,
talking woman. About how there is no God because you got hurt. You're a great person. It's perfectly circular logic there.
Mm-hmm. But you said that she retired, so she'll probably just go away. But wait, there's more.
Forward to retirement and looking forward to my new role in the game. I'm retiring on the field, but you know, you'll definitely be seeing a lot of me off of it.
No, God, please, no, no.
So don't worry, you're gonna be seeing a lot more of her.
Yeah,
off of it.
Great news. So well,
do you think she? I mean, she's so vain. Maybe she'll run for a political office or something. I don't know, but I was hoping she would just go away. I don't think she's going to. She might be my least favorite person on the planet. Really.
I would bet you money that 24 months from now, she will have faded into oblivion and nobody will ever really
speak. No way, dude. There's no way. Nike is going to be paying her millions of dollars as the face of their LGBTQRSTUV trans line or whatever it is that she's hucking for them. Hawking. You know, I guess it's not hucking. She's going to be hawking something. Or maybe it's hooking because she is a hooker.
Yeah, when it starts to affect the bottom line, which I bet there's already some tremors of that, that won't be the case anymore.
Hmm.
People are sick of it. You see what's happening in, I mean, this isn't necessarily LGBTQ plus related, but what's happening in like Holland and Argentina. I think
go ahead.
I think since our last recording, Argentina elected a new, I think that's a president, right? I think they actually have a president. Most of the South American countries, they're, governments are structured a little bit more like ours, where there's a president, executive branch, and then there's their legislature. So they elected this guy named Javier Milei, who is like a hardcore libertarian who has come in and just started like axing government, whole government programs, whole government departments. He's trying to ban, he's basically anti-socialist, and they've been a socialist country for a long time. What are some of his, he's got a whole bunch of culture war positions, you know, the media is trying to paint him as the South American Donald Trump, right? But I mean, he's like bringing the fear, banning things like critical race theory and stuff like that in their education system. He's going to war with all of it. So, you know, the entire global media is trying to paint him as a demon. But then just a week or whatever later in Holland, which is also, of course, called the Netherlands, where the people are called Dutch. That's right. Where Amsterdam is. They certainly have never been known for being anything but a, you know, borderline.
Drugs and prostitution have been legal there forever.
Right. Yeah.
Which, didn't you go there as a young man?
I went there at 19 or 20 years old. Yeah. Mm. Partook in one of those two things, but not the other. That's what I'm looking for. They're basically anarchists almost there, right? With the red light district, and then, like you said, legalizing drugs decades before anybody else did. And the European Union has had a open borders policy for 20 years now, which we've documented on this show, which is all part of the UN's way of, you know, these countries that have abandoned God and abandoned family, all of a sudden they're finding that they've got like a 1.25 birth rate, 1.25 children for every two adult people in the country, which means their populations are shrinking, which means their labor force is shrinking, which means what do? You just let in a bunch of refugees from all over the globe, and now all of a sudden you've got like pockets of your country where Sharia law is in place, and 12-year-olds getting, you know, married off to grown gross men, and people getting stabbed in the name of Allah, and they're all quite sick of it. Oh, and then they went to war on the farmers. The Netherlands is one of the breadbaskets of the world. I was actually just reading this article about how, like, in terms of agricultural production ratioed against their CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions, it's like the most efficient run agriculture country in the world. Like, they have all these amazing protections.
That's not good enough. We got to shut it down.
Not good enough. Got to get rid of nitrogen. Nitrogen is the new pollutant du jour. Of course, you can't raise crops without nitrogen because it's one of the three most important fertilizers you can use, right? So that's when we remember the Dutch farmers rolled literal tractors into, I guess, Amsterdam. Is probably
very much like the Canadian truckers protest.
Right. Right about the same time, too, right? Wasn't that all within like a month of each other? Big, huge kerfuffle. They were being demonized as right-wing radical extremists. Well, they took 30-something seats in the Dutch parliament, they being this guy Geert Wilders.
Wilders.
Yeah, Wilders, whatever, party. He's been, for like 20 years now, famous in Europe for being anti-immigrant, or at least anti-illegal immigration. Yeah,
he vowed a no immigration policy.
Right. Zero, yeah. He wants to ban the teaching of the Quran. He wants to ban the wearing of hijabs in public spaces, all this, he's going.
And they voted for him.
So, right. So his part, the way that works, right, like we've talked about, is his party won the majority of their parliament. And unless a big enough, but they don't have a majority, they want a plurality. They don't have a 50-something percent plus majority. They have the biggest. There's like seven parties in.
So the way that works in these governments is that you have to form a coalition and get the other, because there's more than two parties, right? That's the difference.
There's like seven parties. There's seven parties, right? So their government is
to get votes,
right?
And he's going to have to concede some of these, like the zero immigration thing.
Apparently, within the last month before the election, he'd already kind of toned it down a little bit. Still had a bunch of red lines, and his party platform still has all the same stuff, but he had kind of moderated a little bit. But to your point, I guess at least is in terms of immigration and stuff, the furthest right party in the country. And so all he needs is one or two of the slightly left of them parties to support him. And he's basically a shoo-in at this point to become their prime minister.
Well, and I
both of them are being called the Dutch and Argentinian Donald Trumps, which is
right.
Some nonsense.
And I saw videos of just left, like hardcore leftists just crying in the streets. Kind of like Rachel Maddow, like on the day that Trump was elected.
Yeah.
On live television.
Yeah, unless they manage to lock him up, I think they're staring down the barrel of that deal again.
Well, you know what, though? And I was thinking about, because I had this in the notes, too. Like, it gives me hope, though, that these long time, like, this is the first time in 25 years that that party has had any control in the Netherlands. So it gives me a little bit of hope that, hey, the rest of the world is waking up. But why is that? Is it a combination of, COVID lockdowns, mandates, plus this LGBTQ crap? Are those the two main things, you think?
So all of this has been building for a long time, right? The globalization is a 70-year project in the making, basically ever since World War II, right? You get the UN, NATO, right? What we're seeing right now is the culmination of decades and decades of combined, universal one world government, right?
Uh-huh.
So the immigration crisis began in the early 2000s. They were already having problems in the early 2010s with these huge, pockets of radical Islamists doing all kinds of radical Islamist things, and pushback has been going on for quite some time. We really only became, aware of it, I guess, when Trump rode down the escalator and started talking about closing the borders. And then you know, in response, America, which Hillary Clinton had been working on for a long time before that, they started wanting the whole open borders thing, which again, here they claim it's about humanitarian concerns and bringing in refugees. But the truth is, it's about the fact that we're down to a 1.5 babies to every two adults in the country reproduction rate.
Our households are doing it.
That's right. We're picking up the slack. That's right. 100%. It's just global capital wanting to move people in so they have a workforce while also eroding and eradicating anything like a culture so that there's just this one world, you know, melting pot thing. Mm-hmm. People were already rumbling and getting sick of it. But to your point, yeah, 2020 was planned. I mean, we've talked about the whole Agenda 22. What was it called? Not Agenda 22.
I know, but it was the meeting of the, you know.
World Economic Forum and the Gates Foundation did I should have taken some Alpha Brain. Their simulation
meeting in like October 2019.
Right. Yeah. Meeting in October of 2019 about what to do in the event a coronavirus escapes a wet market in China. And then, by December, that was happening, right? And then they already had the shots ready and they had all the terminology ready and they had the full-blown media assault ready. That was their reaction to the fact that the rumblings of a global populist uprising were already underway. Trump, Brexit, you know, there were all these things already happening. So they're like, we'll just bludgeon everybody into submission and, you know, split the world into, you know, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. And, you know, but the reality is all they've done is made it worse along the way. What they didn't seem to account for, or maybe they did, and there's a long game here that I haven't fully figured out yet. Well, Mo Fax thinks that the goal was to kill off a whole bunch of people and that everybody, which that same group of people formed something in the like 2009 called the Good Club. You ever heard of the Good Club?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they have a group called the Good Club, and it was Bill Gates and it was Warren Buffett and it was Oprah was there.
Of course.
Yeah. I have to Google this real quick. And guess what? After 3 days of meeting in Manhattan, guess what they did? So the premise was they wanted to put all their many, 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 many billions. I think the total was like $3 trillion combined in this group toward basically like humanitarian, towards a good cause, right? Towards charity. Right. Okay. They're going to bring the world's richest people together in the name of like charity and let's all pool our money together to create more good. Well, guess what their ultimate goal was from that?
Depopulation.
Bingo. Which that was the report.
Oh, Bill has been testing vaccines on African children for a long time.
There are too many people and we need fewer of them. So somehow vaccines will help with that. I certainly know they never said it, but maybe unleashing a deadly pandemic will help with that. Maybe dosing people up with something that creates heart damage.
So you mentioned the
philanthrocapitalism is what they call it. Go ahead.
You mentioned this, you know, global populist movement, and this was 2020 was their reaction to try to suppress that. Let me take you to 2018.
Yeah, I mean, the dude from the World Economic Forum said, this is an opportunity to remake the whole world. We can use COVID as the great reset. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, let me give you an example of exactly what you're talking about. This is from 2018. This is Kathy Newman. She's an anchor in Europe, I believe Britain, visiting with Dominic Tarzynski, is a politician in Poland.
Tarzynski, how many refugees has Poland taken?
Zero.
And you're proud of that?
If you are asking me, if you are asking me about Muslims' illegal immigration, none, not even one will come to Poland. Not even one if it's illegal. We took over 2 million Ukrainians who are working, who are peaceful in Poland. We will not receive even one Muslim because this is what we promised.
But I asked not about illegal immigrants. I asked about refugees. And Jean-Claude Juncker, the Commission President, says that you're racist. You sound proud of the fact that you haven't taken any refugees.
Of course, because this is what our people are expecting from our government. That's number one. This is why our government was elected. But this is why Poland is so safe. This is the reason why we had not even one terrorist attack. Look at the streets in Poland, and we can be called populists, nationalists, racists. I don't care. I care about my family and about my country.
Sounds kind of nice, not having an open border. I'm not saying don't let Muslims into the country. I'm saying it's nice to know who's in your country. And, you know, they've taken it a step further, to each their own. Meanwhile, I don't know if you're paying attention, but we just had some kind of terrorist attack on our, I think it was in New York. Where was that the other day where that huge explosion was?
I didn't even hear about that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'll look that up. Well, you give me a reaction to what that guy said and you know, keeping in mind, it plays into what you were talking about with this populist nationalist movement that interrupts the one world ideology.
Yeah, man, they've got some real problems on their hand in the EU where people are sick of it, man. You've got people coming into historical cultures that have been, you know, many, 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 many generations in the making, and they don't buy, you know, they're fleeing for presumably a better life, but then they're bringing all the crap that they left in to change the culture to what their ends where they're going. And it's like, you always talk about like, why'd you come here? Right. What's that guy's name?
The Polish politician, Dominik Tarzynski. And a quick note on the explosion. Yeah. It was at the Rainbow Bridge crossing between New York and Canada. Two people were killed in a vehicle explosion, but the official was not authorized to discuss details of the investigation publicly and spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity. So, nothing to see there. Was it a bomb or was it a Tesla? If it was a Tesla, I mean, don't you think people would want to know if it's safe to be in one, or was it a bomb? Tarzynski is the dude in Poland. You were about to take that another direction.
So Hungary's got a guy who's been in charge there for quite some time that's saying all the same stuff. Mm. There's an uprising going on all around the world, and but kind of go it, back to
everything's cyclical because Poland. So that was 2018, which led to, you know, a lot of things. That mindset, and Donald Trump's president, and Poland, did the exact opposite of the Netherlands. They just elected a liberal. Left-wing government. They'd been conservative for a long time. So, who knows that will affect immigration for them going forward.
Let me run through the names of the people who made up the Good Club. Like I said, this was 2009. Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire from New York, 16th richest person in the world. Y'all may remember he tried to run for president and was going to be a moderate Democrat on the Democratic side. And they basically just called him a billionaire who doesn't belong because they're socialists now. So Bloomberg, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. This is some site called WikiSpooks, which I had never heard of. It's basically like a Wikipedia variant with probably a bunch of conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, well, this has to be suppressed on Google and, you know, main search.
It's like the fifth hit. If you Google the Good Club, I've done it 2 days in a row, it's like the fifth hit that pops up. Mm. They're not totally slanting this. They're not really hiding this agenda anymore, right? It's kind of interesting. I say conspiracy theorists, yet everything I'm about to read, I can tell you, is factual. Bill Gates, their description of him, multi-billionaire computer businessman, was very close to Epstein, pushing a mass vaccination agenda in 2021, called a Napoleon and drug trafficker, repeatedly caught by the court of Washington, D.C. in the early 2000s. That's when he was being charged with basically antitrust stuff for Microsoft's total stranglehold on the whole computing world. Yeah. Some guy named Peter Peterson, who's been the longtime chair of the Council on Foreign Relations. Y'all need to know what the Council on Foreign Relations is all about. They're bad guys. They're globalists. They're all about the Ukraine war. What's her name? That's running for president. Good Lord, my brain's not working today. What's the Haley? Nikki Haley, longtime part of.
Well, it's that Thanksgiving weekend hangover, like.
It must be what it is. David Rockefeller, who's the Rockefellers are basically Bill Gates's mentors. George Soros. Have we ever talked about how George Soros is responsible for destroying the British pound? Did you know that?
But I'm more scared of his son than him. His son's awful.
His son is terrible. His son is more scary for sure. But yeah, George Soros deliberately destroyed the British pound, shorted it, and that was like the biggest windfall of his career. Then some lady named Patty Stone Cipher, who it says is a Bill Gates crony. Ted Turner of Turner Broadcasting Systems, liberal U.S. media mogul and zealous financier of projects to designed to lower the world's population. That's a known fact.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oprah got to attend. Let me tell you what they talked about. The meeting called by Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and David Rockefeller Jr. was held in response to the global economic downturn in 2009 and the numerous health and environmental crises that they want to fix the way they want it. Over dinner after the presentation, the Times reported, New York Times, they discussed how they might settle on a, quote, umbrella cause that could harness their interests. Taking their cues from Gates, a consensus emerged that would back a strategy in which population growth would be tackled as a potentially disastrous environmental, social, and industrial threat. It was in some ways a summit to save the world, quote. Most of these billionaires have a history of spending large sums of money on reducing population numbers and population growth. Several are quoted as proposing drastic population reductions.
So these are the world leaders. These are the people of power. I mean, they're probably the...
Yeah, they got all the money. They get to buy all the
ones pulling the strings behind everything.
Did we ever talk about how Bill Gates, through the Gates Foundation...
I got to read that book that we were talking about. What is it called? What we said we're going to do.
I think I finished.
Haven't you been listening to part of it?
Yeah, I think I finished it. Yeah, I haven't finished it yet. It's called... Yeah, I did finish it. It's called Controligarchs.
When you listen to something, what speed are you listening at?
Podcasts on regular speed. I'll listen to an audio book at about like 1.2, which is not fast enough to make it sound like a chipmunk, but...
Right. That's
because they tend to read like slow and deliberately. So, yeah.
But so the thing about listening to like the stuff that we're going to review, a book, like how do you make notes? I tried doing the making the notes on the thing, like on Audible. Terrible. It's got to get the hardback and or actual physical copy of the book to make proper notes in it.
If it hasn't been made clear in 153 episodes, I'm not great at note taking. Going off of sometimes very sharp and
all right, I'll take the notes and then you can just
that's right. You lay out the outline, I'll contribute. Sometimes my memory on these things is sharp, but more often than not, it's a little foggy. And that's where it's up to you guys to just go figure it out for yourselves, listeners. Mm-hmm. By the way, leave a review and a rating.
Yeah, like
share the show.
4 with stars, like Chisholm's dad.
5.
So let's head to the southern border, the place you don't care about, or at the very least, don't like to devote time discussing on the show, as you've made it very clear over the years. But you do this week, because you sent me the most ridiculous thing. And I'll let you spill the beans on this, because this is the epitome of clown freaking world that we are living in.
Did you like the GIF that I sent with it?
Yes, dude.
GIF, whatever you call it. Yeah, they've crossed the streams. The Department of Homeland Security has crossed the streams and looks to be tearing a hole in the space-time continuum like in the original Ghostbusters. So the Heritage Foundation, which is a legit conservative think tank, Victor Davis Hanson has wrote for them, I think been a fellow for them for a long, long time. I want to say this was not brand new news. I want to say this is recycled, but they recently published that through some FOIA, Freedom of Information Act stuff, they've uncovered a memorandum where the Department of Homeland Security has instructed the Border Patrol to not use gendered language when confronting what they're calling, I think, like public citizens or people in public, which means border crossers, not to use
illegals,
sir or ma'am, Mr. or Mrs., man, woman, etc., until they've clarified the illegal immigrants' gender status, preferred gender identity.
Bringing it back to trans.
Thank you, Stella.
So that is now, supposed to say? Instead of like saying, hey, go back where you came from and apply for proper asylum and citizen, you know, a work visa, the first thing they have to figure out is, you look like a man, but maybe call yourself her or they. That's what our Border Patrol's top priority is when, I wouldn't even use the word confronting, when handling, dealing with the illegal immigration problem, is make sure you don't say anything gendery until you know for sure that you're properly identifying.
All right, I'll give you a hot take on that. Who gives a crap? They're illegals. They have no rights. They shouldn't be here. I don't care. They don't deserve the same treatment that a citizen of this country is. You're here illegally. Now, you shouldn't be treated like super inhumanely, but I don't care if they're rough with you. I don't care really what they do. Except get your ass back to where you came from, because you don't belong here. And I want to be very clear. I don't blame them. I would be doing the same thing. But if caught, I wouldn't expect you to roll out the red carpet for me, because I'm breaking the law by entering your country. So, whatever. I don't care how they treat them. If they treated them rougher, then maybe less of them would cross. But I'm a nationalist, so whatever. That's how I look at it anyway. And you don't have a nation without a secure border, which we have documented. That's what a country is. Call me what you want, but that's my take.
Yeah. Dude, so this is from the Post Millennial, which is a great news outlet. The memo was called The Guide to Facilitating Effective Communication with Individuals Who Identify as LGBTQ+. To, quote, give guidance to all CBP, which is, I guess, Customs and Border Patrol, right? Mm-hmm. All CBP employees who interact with members of the public to help facilitate effective communication with the diverse public we serve, including individuals who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning intersex, non-binary, and gender non-conforming. Memo goes on to say it should be used by all CBP employees who encounter members of the public in the course of their job duties, including but not limited to law enforcement, trade, human resources, public liaisons, and others. The meanings of the term may change over the meaning of terms may change over time. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you can rewrite definitions as you know, just on a whim.
Examples are given on how to ask these questions to illegal immigrants, and those examples are in English, such as, I would like to be respectful. What name and pronoun would you like me to use when addressing you? Tone should be considered, instructs the memo. Border agents are told not to ask, what are you? But rather to say, can you please confirm your pronouns or gender identity? Non-gender specific terminology should be used until the appropriate terms are ascertained. Do not question the authenticity of a person who tells you that he, she, or they identify as LGBTQ+, LGBTQI+. There's an I in there now. It's intersex, I believe.
Too many made-up words.
Wow. This whole concept, apparently, according to this article, has led to the FDA stating that
talking about people breaking the law, right? Just to reiterate, like... I don't give a crap how you treat them. Short of treating them like cattle, whatever. I don't care.
The FDA is withholding free lunch funding from public schools that do not provide gender-neutral bathrooms.
That's not news.
I guess I forgot that they did that.
Yeah, dude.
Eesh. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, they crossed the streams. Now, you're... concerns about illegal immigration, which, by the way, on Wednesday morning at the ranch, Border Patrol was cruising down the easement, stopped and was like, hey, we've been informed of some illegal immigrant activity in the area. You guys got anybody hunting? And, you know, this was like 8:30 a.m. and I had work to do and stuff. I was like, nah, there won't be anybody out hunting until after 4 o'clock, you know. And they were like, okay, well, they asked, you know, they kind of sounded like they were going to go through the neighbor's place. Long story short, the next time I pulled cards, sure enough, There was a gentleman who walked right in front of the camera at number 10. So,
oh, this is the first illegal you've caught on camera at this place?
No. I didn't tell you about last year when...
Oh, well, no, I knew your dad had found a dead guy there.
Dad found a dead guy. No, we've caught plenty of pictures, seen plenty of footprints. But no, last season, we got to the house, on a Friday evening, and, first thing I always do when I get there is I go pull the card so I can see what's going on with the cameras, right? And I corned down below the house to, let the folks sitting at the house watch stuff. And I ran over to number one, which is the closest blind to the house. Close enough that I've been sitting in it before on a southeast wind and had the dogs run up underneath the blind because they knew I was in there. Mm-hmm. You can, if it's calm, I can hear, if I'm sitting in one, I can hear the family talking on the back patio. Drive over there and pull the card, pull all the cards, get back to the house, going through them. And when I get back to that particular camera, I always go from the most recent photos backwards. Right. Especially when there's 1500 of them. So I'm scrolling backwards. And the first picture I catch is a guy looking over his shoulder at my feeder.
Uh-huh.
Got feeders with the cage to keep the raccoons from spinning the corn out. Right. And he's inside the cage fiddling around and he's looking back over his right shoulder, which would be right back at the house. Then there's like a couple of blank shots. And it turned out there was a 10 minute gap between, there were three people at the feeder. The first actual by timeline image was they had walked in. There was an image of three people at my feeder. Then there was a 10 minute gap. And then there was this picture of this dude looking back over his shoulder. But I watched all that in reverse order, right? So we're going back through it in like real time order, trying to figure out what was going on here. And then my wife, as astute as she is, notices they're charging their cell phones. Sure enough, The last photograph, well, in the first picture where the three of them are at the camera, there's a cell phone in a dude's pocket. The last photograph with the one guy looking back over his shoulder, the cell phone is not in his pocket, same guy, but a white cord is hanging either out of his pocket or out of his other hand. So they had some sort of little, alligator clamp pigtail thing where they were filling up their cell phones off of the battery on our feeders. And... Hmm. What I realized was if you look at the timeline, this was all the reason he was looking over his shoulder is because he heard our buggy fire up and me corning that road. And then 7 or 8 minutes later, when I got down from the time I fired the buggy up, he probably heard the buggy fire up. He's grabbing his gear and they're hauling ass. Maybe just hiding in the brush 100 yards from me or 50 yards from me while I rolled up with all my kids, my whole family. Pulling the card.
Well, I mean, the Americans shouldn't have to deal with that. That's how my takeaway is. Yeah, sure. I feel bad for them. Charge your cell phone if you can get away with it. Again, do all these things if you can get away with it. The thing is, they shouldn't be getting away with it. And I don't blame them, but if we treated them the way we should be treating them, like with harsh penalties, whatever it is, there wouldn't be as many coming. Just look at how it was with Trump. Like, what is it up? 200% immigration? Illegal immigration? It's an astronomical increase.
7 million encounters a year now. Yeah, so, the DHS, getting back to crossing the streams, has taken the two biggest hot-button issues in America right now, illegal immigration and transgender ideology, and smushed them together into this unholy alliance that's bound to destroy something. Hopefully, it destroys the left.
What do you think that... And here's the thing. The LGBTQRS crowd gets treated better in America than they do in any other country. Certainly.
Pretty much.
Certainly in our hemisphere. Maybe there's some in Europe that are equal, probably. But they don't have a bad here.
No.
They don't have a bad at all. Yet they pretend like they hate this country because they have it so bad. Go somewhere else. And see how you're treated if that's your choice in life, if that's your path in life. What is what does the Quran say about homosexuality or, God forbid, trans people?
I know it calls it a sin. I don't think it says this, but I know what they do in Muslim countries is throw you off of a building. So that's why it's real interesting to watch the pro-Palestinian protesters all across the Western world, including in our country, waving signs that say trans people for Hamas or Palestine or whatever. Right. It's like,
they don't even, how are they so uneducated? And here's a prime example. Listen to this dude. Look at him first. This is, get a look at the facial hair on this thing dressed up as a woman with all the piercings in its face.
I jumped back on Instagram this week, by the way, so I have actually seen this.
Oh, this is a gem right here. Here we go. We're going to play this thing.
They're reading the Quran, and I am so excited about it. People thought when I first asked that I just wanted to read it out of curiosity, but I want to read it to study it. I started following somebody on social media that teaches the Quran and hosts a Quran book club for Muslims and non-Muslims, so I'm really excited to start going to that. She was describing the chapter of the bee, and that just blew my mind. Like, the way that she describes things, the way that the Quran describes things actually makes sense to me. And also, did you know that Allah is beyond gender? Did you know that actually scholars believe that there are two Qurans, the Quran of nature and the Quran, the actual book? And did you know that each chapter is named after a natural phenomenon? I don't know, this whole book is just blowing my mind, and I am so excited. I got sticky notes so that I could mark out things that I was drawn to, and I'm not even through the first chapter, and I already have a bunch of sticky notes. I'm definitely going to have to buy more tabs. I'm honestly having a whole revolution with myself, where the way that I describe the universe and the things that I believe in are actually described in the Quran of believing in Allah. And I've never thought that I believed in God before, and now I'm really having a revolution of self of, I think I actually believe in God. If you've been curious, I really recommend it. There are a lot of people who are converting. There's a lot of people who are reading it. I'm not saying I'm going to convert. I'm not saying that I wouldn't. And I don't know. I know that this is exactly what I need right now. I just wanted to say thank you and just point out how excited I am.
Up to the top floor and off the building you go, you moron. How do these people not understand? That's also the problem with social media when you think about he is following some idiot on social media that probably has no background in the doctrine of the Quran. You know what it's like? It's comparable to the trans phenomenon on YouTube. These kids are depressed and probably on antidepressants or other, you know, prescription drugs. And so they go and find their online family. Like, it's a joke. These people don't know you. They don't care about you. The whole thing is a facade. Just like this person teaching the Quran incorrectly. Literally, go to a Muslim country and see what they do to you.
Moron, horribly uneducated. That's what our education system produces now. People who don't know basic biology, basic history, basic world cultures, basic religion, they don't know anything. Other than what they've been, all they know is a bunch of stuff that's not right. So I gotta go.
All right, well, let's end with a little satire, a funny Instagram clip, and a dad that I certainly could have a cold beer with.
The parent of our six-year-old son. He just came out as a pirate. He's known since he was 2 months old, but the children's hospital have been great. They agreed to pop out an eye, saw off the old hand for the hook, and also one bit of his leg for the peg leg. So it's been really good. His pronouns are P and Ira, and you will respect him.
That's clearly satire.
Yeah. I just like his accent. Okay, well, that's going to do it for episode 152 of Justified Pursuit. For Chisholm Cook, I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for tuning in, and we will do it again next week.
The education system sucks.
Gosh, that was one of your weaker dismounts of all time.
I was blanking the whole conversation. Here it's easy.